Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to CEMAC Limited Q3 FY24 earnings conference call. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during this conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touchtone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Abhishek Jain, Head of Research from Arihant Capital Markets. Thank you, and over to you, Mr. Jain.
I welcome you to the earnings conference call of CEMAC India Limited for Q3 FY24. From the management side today, we have Mr. Naveen Mohta, Full-Time Director, Mr. Vinay Agrawal, CFO, Mr. S. N. Mohanty, President, Corporate Affairs and Legal Advisory and Company Secretary, and Mr. Sunil Gupta, Vice President, Strategy and Investor Relationships. We welcome the management of CEMAC on this call. Now I invite Mr. Naveen Mohta, Full-Time Director, to give his opening remarks, from which we'll open the floor for the Q&A. Over to you, Mr. Naveen Mohta.
Good morning, everyone. On behalf of CEMAC, I extend a warm welcome to all the participants on our earnings call for the third quarter of financial year 2024. I am accompanied by my team, Mr. Vinay Agrawal, our CFO, Mr. S. N. Mohanty, President, Corporate Affairs, Legal and CS, and Mr. Sunil Gupta, Vice President, Strategy and Investor Relations. For the benefit of our new participants, I would like to start with a brief background of the company. We are a leading offshore oilfield service provider in the subsea segment. The company has five diving support vessels and one barge in the offshore subsea support business, wherein the vessels are deployed in the domestic and international markets. This quarter marks a significant milestone for our company as we successfully completed the takeover of an offshore shipping vessel, Sea Diamond. This acquisition not only adds a valuable asset to our portfolio, but also shows our commitment to growth and forward-thinking vision. Looking ahead, we are actively pursuing opportunities to further increase our portfolio, and in the present quarter, we are in the process of acquiring another OSV. This aligns with our strategic objectives for continued success. The company has extensive experience in providing specialized services covering inspection, maintenance and repair, operate remotely operated vehicle and subsea construction activities, to name a few. These activities require specialized vessels along with well-trained crew and diving team having extensive experience in handling such complex activities to ensure seamless operations for E&P companies such as ONGC, Aramco, ADNOC, etc. We also have three bulk carriers under our subsidiaries, including step-down subsidiaries that provide marine transportation services for dry bulk material such as food staples, commodities, industrial products, etc. As we cater to oil and gas sector, it is important to understand the sector in which we operate. The oil and gas sector in India plays a pivotal role in India's economic growth. With India rightly poised to become a $7 trillion economy by 2030, the energy sector, including oil and gas, will witness a massive demand surge. Our Honorable Prime Minister, while speaking recently at India Energy Week, highlighted that the oil demand is projected to increase twofold, rising from 19 barrels per day to 38 barrels per day by 2045. As per the recent report of the Petroleum Ministry, India currently imports about 87% of the oil demand. Honorable Finance Minister, in her budget speech, announced a capital commitment of ₹1.2 lakh crore by state and oil PSUs in oil and gas exploration, refineries, petrochemicals and laying pipelines to meet the need of the world's fastest growing energy consuming nation. This will lead to further growth avenues for the company over the next 5 to 10 years. In addition to our current fleet, with our strong financial health, we are fully prepared to seize all forthcoming opportunities in the realm of inspection, maintenance and repair, as well as subsea construction activities, by ensuring to strengthen our fleet infrastructure. It is also our endeavor to consolidate our vessel assets under CEMAC over the next few years. This strategic move is poised to drive significant growth for our company, bolstering its market position and enhancing its sustainability in the long term. During the quarter, all our six vessels were deployed, which has resulted in strong financial performance. We expect this growth and momentum to continue. I will now request Mr. Vinay Agarwal to share the financial performance.
Thank you, Naveenji. A very warm welcome to all participants for today's earnings call for Q3 FY24. I will now walk you through the quarterly financial update. Revenue for Q3 FY24 is up 114% to rupees 205 crore compared to rupees 96 crore in Q3 FY23 and rupees 77 crore in Q2 FY24. The increase in revenue is attributable to deployment of all 6 vessels for a total combined 452 days as compared to 208 days in Q3 FY23 and 249 days in Q2 FY24. EBITDA on a standalone basis for the quarter stood at rupees 94 crore compared to rupees 22 crore in Q3 FY23, registering a 324% growth year-on-year basis and compared to rupees 31 crore in Q2 FY24, representing an increase of 203%. EBITDA margin in the current quarter stood at 46% compared to 23% in Q3 FY23 and 40% in Q2 FY24. The increase in margin are due to higher deployment during the quarter. Profit after tax for the reported quarter is rupees 62 crore compared to rupees 6 crore in Q3 FY23 and rupees 2 crore in Q2 FY24. Our gross debt is rupees 232 crore and net debt is rupees 88 crore at the end of the quarter. Increase in debt is mainly due to acquisition of one OSV during the quarter. Currently, our ROCE is 12% and ROE is 14% on TTM basis. The same is expected to improve further in the coming period with increase in operating activities and better performance. With this, I conclude and would now request the moderator to open the forum for question and answer session. Thank you.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and 1 on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and 2. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. Participants, you may press star and 1 to ask a question. So the first question is from line of Rajan Mehta from Middle East Investment Merging. Please go ahead.
For the opportunity, congratulations on a great set of results.
Sorry, but can you please speak for the handset?
Is this better now?
Slightly.
Okay, thank you for the opportunity. Congratulations on a great set of results. My first question is regarding the asset sale part. I just wanted to understand what is the current procedure, current progress, whether the reverse merger is currently going on or the asset sale is going on. Just wanted to understand the progress on this front. And secondly, wanted to understand what is the quantum that we can expect going ahead with the reverse merger.
This is Sunil Gupta this side. As Naveenji just said, it is our endeavor to consolidate our vessel assets under CMAT. Last time when we had gone for a merger, the same was rejected on technical grounds because of the already 72% holding was with the promoters and post-merger holding was going up. Now, as you would know that this business is more of a contract, long-term contractual business. So what we have decided that as and when the contracts are expiring, we are consolidating those contracts under CMAC. In this year, some of the activities will be started in 2024-25 and 25-26. And we are likely to get this completed by year 2026-27. Even if we would have done a merger or a reverse merger, it would have taken about 2 years. In this manner, we believe that it is in the interest of the investors where the business will cleanly get consolidated over a period of time under CMAC. However, for some strategic purposes, some business may remain with HL, but it will be very insignificant and should not impact our investors in the listed entity.
Understood. Right. And thanks for the clarity on that front. when we say the asset sale is going to happen, sir, what assets are we going to get from?
Rajesh, I'm just telling you that. So basically, if you see, there are contracts. There are two vessels in HAL. One is in lease basis and one is in the owned basis. Okay. Rest, HAL has two contracts where they are doing O&M for ONGC. So those two contracts, once are scheduled to get expired in 2025-26, will be preferred to rebid in CMAC. Okay. One asset which is under lease of HAL right now, we are working on that part. Probably we are hopeful that in 2024-25, the CMAC may get the right of lease under its name and start operating that asset once the right to use is completed, acquire asset under CMAC, which may take 1.5-2 years. But right to use will come within this year itself. Okay. The asset which is under HAL offshore will currently remain there because the contract is with HAL only. However, and there is a benefit of tonnage tax scheme which we would not like to lose. Once most of the activities get consolidated, then we'll see over next 2 years, even CMAC will be strong enough to acquire that asset on arm's length basis. So that call will be taken in 2026-27.
Okay. Understood. So just to clarify before I get back into queue, we have one leased asset which will come in FY25, two contracts which can come in FY26, and the asset owned by HAL that will be discussed on a later
date. Once this piece will be over, then without losing the benefit of tonnage tax, we'll try to get that asset in CMAC. Okay.
Right. So the asset that we are getting, so the lease that we are getting in FY25, we may get, and the contract that we may get in FY26, what is the revenue visibility over here? Can you just throw some light on this?
Both all these assets are DSV. O&M contracts are very different than the pure service contracts. Okay. So it will be difficult for us to now say, because O&M contract may range between $10,000 to $20,000 per day, whereas a full service contract revenue may range between $60,000 to $70,000 per day. So depending on what kind of contract comes from ONGC, that will be clear only when the year 2025-2026 renewal will happen. But we believe that markets are buoyant. So definitely there will be some upside in the pricing, whether it is O&M or a full service contract.
Understood. And the asset that currently HAL has, which we plan to acquire in FY27, what kind of revenue is it generating right now? Can you throw some light on that for HAL only?
That asset would be generating a revenue of about $60,000 per day. That contract is yet to start. It will be starting in 2024-25.
I'll just get back in the queue. Thank you all so much and all the best for the future.
Thank you. Participants, you may press star and one to ask the question. Next question is from the line of Devesh Lal from Monarch AIF. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi sir. Just wanted to understand working capital cycles in the oil extraction, support services, and freight transportation.
Hello?
Hello?
Yes?
Yeah, just wanted to understand the working capital cycles in the oil extraction, support services, and freight transportation.
As of now, our working capital cycle is in the range of 50 to 65 days, and we are managing it very comfortably.
Okay. Yeah, that's it from my side. Thank you.
Thank you. Next question is from Lana Frona from Robo Capital. Please go ahead.
Hello, am I audible?
Yes.
So there is currently a Red Sea issue going on. So do we see any impact on our business from that part?
See, all our vessels are operating on the Indian coast only as of now. Or in case of one vessel which is operating in Saudi Arabia, that is on the other side of the Red Sea, so that is in the Persian Gulf area. So we do not see any kind of impact of this on our vessels operating there.
Okay, sir, got it. And one more question is, like, currently or in this quarter we have EBITDA margins of nearly 42%, and in the previous quarter it was like 20%, 25%. So how do we see, is this margin sustainable or what is the normal margin that we can get?
See, as explained by Mr. Vinay while giving the number, this this quarter has been, all our vessel has been deployed fully, while during the previous quarter there was some idle time was there. Going forward, we are looking at it that we will be able to keep all the fleet utilized in similar manner, so we can expect this kind of margin to sustain.
Okay, got it. Thanks. That's it from my side.
Thank you. Next question is from Nana Pranav from PINC Wealth Advisory. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hello, am I audible?
Yes.
Yeah, so I have a couple of questions. Follow up on the previous question itself. We have recently seen our vessels have increased. So is there a particular reason due to which the vessels have increased? And so the increased number of vessels, is that because of a long-term contract or is this like a one-time thing?
We are not clear about your question. Can you please repeat the question?
Hello?
Hello.
Your voice is not clearly audible. Can you repeat again?
Yeah, okay. So as you said, that we have deployed more number of vessels in this quarter.
Correct.
Right?
Yeah.
So is this on some contractual basis which we can expect to last, or is this a one-time thing?
No, all these vessels will continue because during the corresponding quarter last year, there were some idle time were there due to various reasons. Now all these vessels have been deployed and they are having contracts in hand. So these contracts are going to last. So we can expect this performance to continue.
And how long will the contract be? Is there some date?
See, depending upon each vessel to vessel, some are long-term contract on 365 days basis. Some of the vessels are on working on non-monsoon basis for 2 years or a 2 year contract. So it will be like this, but we have got contract for almost all the vessels as of now in our hand.
Okay, that's it for my side. Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you. Participants, you must start and want to ask the question. The next question is from the line of Naisar Parekh from Native Capital Family Office. Please go ahead.
Hi, thanks for taking the question. First, could you give a sense of what would be the net asset value of the vessels you own as of date?
See, presently this is around 400 crore, that net block value.
Okay. And secondly, just from the rates that we are able to charge, how is that trend? And do you see that, while right now the rates maybe could be at a higher level, and do you see over the next couple of years this will streamline to something lower? How do you see the rates panning out?
See, these rates, as of now, if you look at the overall global trend, rates are on a higher trajectory, and these are going to remain high as per the studies carried out by various global consulting firms. So we can think that for next 3 to 5 years, this tight price range is going to continue to remain over there. Unless there is some kind of black swan event happen, some disruptive thing happen, COVID-like thing, then it is a different thing. But otherwise, it is going to be a strong price trajectory for next 3 to 5 years.
Okay. Thank you so much.
Yeah.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of VP Rajesh from Banyan Capital Advisors. Please go ahead.
Hi. Thanks for the opportunity. Just a couple of questions. Can you share the average length of your current contracts across different clients, etc., and different vessels you have? Because you were talking about that some are for 2 years, some are for month to month, and some are for 365 days. So what would be the general average, weighted average for your different vessels?
See, there is no, all the contracts what we are getting are always shared on the BSE and NSE. So there it is, everything is mentioned that which vessel has got which contract value and for how long it is going to continue. And the question of giving a weighted average is not going to work out because different kind of vessels with different start and different finish. So that will be difficult to make any kind of weighted average at how much of the contract duration is there.
I see. Okay. And in terms of the HUL business that you're planning to transfer over the next 3 years, what is the revenue in this quarter for that business?
But as I said earlier also, getting a clarity on the revenue may not be the right thing because some of the assets are leased, some contracts are on O&M. So the clarity will come only when the contracts will come for renewal. And when they come up for renewal, definitely we'll notify to the exchange about that.
So I was just trying to understand that, let's say today if the revenue is 100 and after 3 years in HAL, the business will be let's say 20. So just trying to get a sense of proportion because I do recognize that when the contracts get negotiated, there may be different pricing, etc. But just trying to get a
revenue. The currently the revenue of those contracts would be about 300 plus crores.
Okay. And on over the 3 years, how much of that will get transferred into this to the listed entity?
As I said earlier, sir, that all depends on how these contracts will come under maturity and come up for revision. So we have given a ballpark vision that we carry. Under that, whenever there is a renewal happening, we'll see in the best interest of CMAC, whatever that can be done, we'll do.
Okay. All right. Thank you. All the best.
Thank you. Participants, you may press star and one to ask a question. Next question is from Lana Swatamesh from Quantum Trade Advisory. Please go ahead.
Hello.
Go ahead.
Sir, congratulations on a great set of numbers. Sir, just one general question I would like to ask is recently, Mr. Hardeep Singh Puri had mentioned about the Eastern Front, India, having deep sea oil exploration as well, which they are going to be starting. So I just wanted to know your view and opinion on that as well, how the company is placed to do that.
Yeah, thank you for your good wishes on the good set of numbers. On this thing on the east coast of India, a lot of development is taking place and ONGC is also exploring a lot of oil blocks. If you have seen recently that they have announced a big big oil flow from the 98/2 block, which is quite a big discovery. So it is going to be a good thing for from the perspective of CMAC, because the more the discovery is made over there, the more infrastructure will be laid and that will be advantageous for CMAC itself. And just to give a sense of it, there have been some tender for the East Coast also, for where we are also bidding. So we are quite hopeful of getting our work over the, in East Coast also and to mark our presence in East Coast as well.
Okay, great. Great, sir. Thank you so much. I'll get back in touch.
Yeah.
Thank you. Next follow-up question is on line of Rajan Mehta from Middle East in Investments. Please go ahead.
Hi. Thank you for the follow-up opportunity. From the press release, I understand that in the international business, we have given one vessel in the Middle East territory. What is the thought process on the international business? What is the visibility of revenues over there and how robust is the business environment? If you could just throw some broad light on that.
Yeah, currently one of the vessels is operating in the Middle East and that contract is as of now, it's for 3 months and with further option to extend on mutually agreed terms basis. And we want to explore that area also. But as I told you, that fleet position is very tight and we are in fact not able to even meet the requirement even on the Indian coast itself. So we are still evaluating the option for deploying some vessel over there. So if we get some suitable acquisition property, acquisition opportunity over there, we will acquire some vessel and try to put it on the Middle Eastern region.
Understood. Sir, if you could also highlight the differential in pricing in the domestic international business?
No, definitely there are good pricing differential is there. But again, if you have to look at it in a different way. The contracts on Indian water with ONGC are quite on long-term basis. But in the Middle Eastern region, these are not on those long-term kind of things, 3 years to 5 years. But of course, once vessel goes over there and it performs, you continue to get the job. So there are pros and there are cons. So we continue to evaluate the opportunity wherever it is beneficial. We will try to calibrate our fleet and we'll try to put it in that way.
Hello?
Hello?
Yeah. Thank you for that. Sir, my next question is regarding the OSP business. What is the capex that we are planning on the OSP side, and who are the competitors over here, and how robust is the competitive scenario over here, competition in this segment?
See, we have not earmarked as of now any specific budget for this OSP, but we keep looking for the opportunities because we are not looking to aggressively go into that market. This is a small ticket kind of vessel. So we are not going that aggressive in this kind of business. But if we get the opportunity where we know that we will be able to put the vessel on long-term charter, like the one we have worked for Sea Diamond and Sea Pearl, definitely we will acquire these vessels. And the company has got financial strength to buy these vessels without any kind of strain on the resources. So that is not a problem at all. So we keep evaluating these opportunities for this overseas market.
Understood. And I think you may have indirectly answered this one question, but just wanted to understand if there is no asset sale or the transfer of contracts from the parent on the standalone business, what kind of visibility do we see going ahead for FY25-26?
See, as Mr. Sunil already explained, that this process is not there as of now. It is not on the table for transfer of sale or this thing. So, as on date, on this standalone basis of the CIMET, we continue to see a good traction going forward for giving a CAGR of around 15% over a period of next 3 to 5 years.
15%. And on the margin front, if you could just give some guidance as well?
Similar kind of guidance will be there.
15. Okay. Understood. Thank you. I'll get back in the queue.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Devesh Shimali from DS Investments. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Good afternoon. Congratulations for a good set of numbers. I just wanted a quick clarity on the last reply you said on margin guidance. When you said similar margin, you meant the current quarter run rate should be doable for next 2-3 years, barring any unforeseen situation, right? Around 40% plus margin. Is that a right understanding?
See, when I'm saying that similar kind of margin expectation, so what is the number of set of numbers we have in this quarter? So overall basis, we are expecting 35-40% of this margin to continue on yearly basis.
Got it. And can you help us understand the seasonality, if any, in our business? Is the September quarter usually affected by seasonality, or how does this play out in your view?
As I told earlier in my opening thing, we are working in oil and gas segment, and it is affected by the seasonality of this rain. So during the monsoon period, some of our vessels are not working. So if you look at our number historically, so Q2 is the weakest quarter for us, where we have the less revenue, and then Q1 is okay in the quarter, but Q3 and Q4 are the best quarter, particularly Q4. So that is the best quarter because January, February, March is the working season for all the vessels.
Got it. Thank you. And if you were to take the current run rate of this quarter, I think I missed out the number of billing days that you called out earlier, but could you help us understand what is our utilization running in this quarter, or just to get an idea of what potential current asset base has.
As I mentioned in my earlier remarks, the utilization of vessels has increased to 452 days in this quarter as compared to 208 days in Q3 FY23 and 249 days in Q2 FY24. When we compare it to Q2, it means this was monsoon season versus non-monsoon this year. And when we compare it year on year, then there were a few regions when earlier year our vessel was not deployed, so there was less deployment.
Got it. And when we say 450 days workable in this quarter, at full capacity, what can we do? Can we do better or is our 100% utilization at 450 days?
This is in the range of around 90% utilization.
Got it. So now that we are running at 90%, what is our idea that how do we get that 15-20% growth that we are planning for next 2-3 years? Are we planning a capex outside the parent deal or how are we looking at delivering that growth?
Sir, as we said, no, we see the sector growing, the market growing, and there will be definitely growth opportunity. So there will be 2-3 things happening. One, there will be additional capex to strengthen our fleet size when the market gives us opportunities. Secondly, with the repricing will happen when the contracts come up for renewal. And third, all these revenues are dollar denominated. And you would know that the rupee has been historically depreciating 3-4%. So that could also help us consolidate our profitability.
Got it. That helps. And the last piece, can you help us understand this other income element? This also, you know, sort of goes up and down each quarter. What could that consist of?
So, other income broadly consists of interest income and fair value gain on our investment in mutual fund and other things. And why it is keep on fluctuating? Reason being, there is marked MTM losses on our swap deals which we have entered into in case of our term loan. So, there was a deal which we have done for swapping it to the dollar and the fluctuation in the dollar rate is giving us sometimes MTM loss, sometimes MTM profit. So that's why we keep on fluctuating.
Got it. And what would be our net debt position as of either 31st December or whatever you are comfortable with?
So this is 88 crores as I have mentioned, net debt position.
I'm sorry, I missed this. How much? 88 crores. Okay. And the capex that we are planning, how do we plan to fund that? Using internal accruals or term debt or some other things that we are planning?
Whenever we are planning to our capex, this is majorly through internal accruals, but on need basis, we are going for term loan as well.
Fair enough. And if one last question I can squeeze in, can you talk about industry competitive intensity? How are we sitting as a company? Just a broad idea, but how is it looking to you next 1-3 years out?
See, on this diving support vessel, I'm very happy to say that we are in a very strong position in the Indian market because we have got the biggest fleet of these diving support vessels and all of them are working with ONGC on a kind of long-term kind of contract. So for next 3-5 years, we have a strong visibility of revenue. And these are kind of contracts which will kind of continue to operate. There is no short closure or something like that. So we see a fairly stable the revenue growth in our next 3-5 years.
Got it. Is it specifically for this segment or broadly other segments also that we operate in, we have long-term contracts?
Even on that other segment also, if we look at it, that supply vessels or anchor handler which we are doing, they are also having the similar kind of trade. So they are also on long-term contract basis, we are getting the contracts.
Fair enough. And last, if I can squeeze in, the total contract mix that we have, how much are, due for renewal in FY24 or 25? Some idea you can give.
So, this year there is not going to be any contract expiring, but we will be getting some contracts again on renewal, like for our vessels Cimex 3 and Princess, which are on EPC basis. So that will be coming up with a newer rate. And then next year there will be two contracts will be new contracts will be coming next year. So I think that will give you a sense of that. Will you give you a fair idea of what is going to come?
Correct. Thanks a lot, and wish you all the best.
Thank you.
Thank you. I request to all the participants, please limit to two questions per participant, and join the queue again for a follow-up question. The next question is from the line of Arpit Shah from Stallion Asset. Please go ahead.
Hello.
Go ahead.
Yeah, if you can just confirm the revenues of HAL Offshore of FY22, is it 150 crores and 300 crores? 150 crores of revenue and 300 crores of PAT, is that the number for HAL Offshore for FY22?
Sir, I said no. With regard to the vessel, there are other businesses in HAL Offshore. On the vessel side, the revenue is around 300 to 400 crores, depending on the contracts coming up year on year basis currently.
And what will be the other businesses?
There is a onshore offshore EPC business that HAL Offshore does.
Okay. Got it. So largely it's a one-third business transfer is happening, one-third to one-fourth kind of business transfer is happening to CMAC Limit.
Okay. As and when the contracts come up for renewal, we'll look at them.
So when you were looking at the reverse model, what was it, the full company you were looking at, or was it just at the contracts you are looking to for the offshore business?
We were looking at the vessel business.
Got it. Good. Yeah, thank you so much.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Simmer from Engine. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Good morning and thank you for the opportunity. Congratulations to the management on showcasing such good numbers. I just want to understand on the working capital cycle, the oil extraction supporting services and the Fed transportation sector. Can you talk about it more?
Come again?
Yeah, I need to know about your working capital cycles in the oil extraction services and your Fed transportation industry.
No, we are not into that kind of business of oil extraction. As we mentioned, we are service providers to ONGC or EPC companies. So our working capital cycle is quite simple. We are doing the job and around 60 to 65 days, we are getting all our payments cleared from them.
Okay. Got it. And can you talk about in this follow-up on the previous participants, when you talked about your OSC, so Sea Diamond, can you talk about the new acquisition over there?
Can you repeat, Sea Diamond, what you want to know?
So, the new acquisition of the OSC vessel Sea Diamond.
Yeah. So, this vessel is being acquired as intimated to stock exchanges with a cost of $7 million. And this vessel will be chartered to HAL Offshore, who has already got a 3-year contract with ONGC. So, this vessel will be going on contract on 3-year basis to HAL Offshore.
All right, sir. Thanks a lot, sir. Yeah.
Thank you. Next question is from line of Gaurav Agarwal from 91 Capital. Please go ahead.
Thank you, sir. Congratulations on good set of numbers. Sir, you talked about your HAL business, which you want to transfer to the listed company over a period of 2 years. So the revenue is like 300-400 here, and what about the ships there, what about those assets, how will those be transferred to the company? Will the company be buying those assets from HAL? And for that, what will be the value that will be paid to HAL over the years? How will this transition work, sir?
I think Mr. Sunil has already clarified this question once or twice. See, the transfer of assets or this thing is it will be taken at a particular time, this contract which HAL is having. The management thought process as of now is that these will be, when they are coming up for renewal, will be bid in the name of CMAC only. So that will be a automatic transfer of assets. And as far as the physical assets which are owned by HAL Offshore, action decision will be taken at right time and opportune time to transfer these to CMS as and when this is found beneficial to the interest of the CMS.
But so what is the broad value of these assets?
See, again, this value cannot be decided as of now or cannot be inferred as of now because these are decaying kind of contracts and 2 year or 3 year down the line, it will be difficult to put a number as of now on these kind of assets.
Okay, but whenever these assets be transferred, it will be via debt route. Company will take debt and then it will be paid to us here. That is how the mechanics will work.
As I said, look, this is a bidding process. So strategically, we would like that as a group, we should be in a leadership position. Okay, when the contract come up for renewal, at the appropriate time, we'll see how in the best interest of our listed entity, we can see the businesses getting listed either in CMAT or indirectly through HL to CMAT so that the assets will slowly and gradually get consolidated under CMAT. All new assets that the business may require will be taken in CMAT only. So a large share of business will remain in CMAT going forward. The situation as of today may not be appropriate to say further, but definitely as and when the things will happen, we'll start notifying to the stock exchanges and the investors will come up to know.
Thank you.
Thank you. Participants, you may press star and one to ask a question. Next question is from the line of Ankur Kumar from Alka Capital Group. Please go ahead.
Hello sir, thank you for taking my question. So my first question is on the HAL side, you said it would be like 300 to 400 crore revenue, so our margins would be similar to like 40% rates that we made in this quarter in the senior side?
I think it will not be proper to discuss the margin of HAL at this forum because HAL is altogether a different entity and independent entity. So I would request we should not take the question for the HAL.
Got it. Okay, sir. And sir, on the tax rate, our tax rate is quite low. So it's like 3% only this quarter. So any comment on that?
See, CMEC is a tonnage tax company. So when we say tonnage tax company, there is an incentive by Government of India under Indian Income Tax Act, where companies are taxed on the basis of the tonnage. So that tax rate is very negligible to incentivize the Indian flagging of the vessel and to increase Indian tonnage. So it is very low rate of kind of tax. So that's why our tax provision are very less.
Got it, sir. And sir, on the contract renewal, higher rate that you said CMAT 3 and Princess will have higher rates in FY25.
Yeah, that is what our expectation is.
So any comment on how much increase can we expect?
See, at this point of time, it will be hazardous to guess, but once we start the process of discussion with the potential charters for the taking of the job, it is going to be higher.
Got it, sir. Thank you and all the best.
Thank you. A reminder to all the participants, you may press star and one to ask a question. Next follow-up question is from the line of VP Rajesh from Banyan Capital Advisors. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Just one follow-up. So, is the contract for getting transferred? Hello, is it better now?
Slightly better, sir.
Okay. So, my question is that if the contract will get transferred from the parent to the listed entity, CMAC, then how are we going to compensate them for the loss of profitability in that particular entity? What is the mechanism to make them whole for ongoing business that will now be booked in CMAC?
See, whenever this kind of transaction is going to take place, everything will be done on the arm's-length pricing basis only, and the scheme will be made within consultation with the expert on that basis and will be ratified by the board of both the companies. So the whatever the compensation or whatever the benefit is going to be get from each entity will be coming up clean at that point of time. But we can assure you that okay, whatever transaction comes, it will be at arm's length price basis only.
Okay. And is the intent to move all the assets from the parent company into the listed entity and the related contracts and keep the EPC business in the parent company? Is that what we are sort of moving towards?
Again, it is too premature to discuss about it because that reverse merger thing is not in the table now. So at any different point of time, whenever this is discussed, so then only the call will be taken whether this merger is whether EPC business should also merge into this entity or not. But presently, there is nothing on the table as of now to merge that EPC business into listed entity.
No, no, my question was slightly different. I was not talking about the merger of the two. I was just saying that is the intent right now to bring all the hard assets and related contracts into the listed entity and keep the EPC business in the parent company. It's sort of directionally, it has to be a thinking that I just want to confirm that.
That's what the intent as of now.
Right. Okay. Thank you so much. That makes it clear.
Yeah.
Thank you. Next question is from man of Rajan Mehta from Middle East Investment Emerging. Please go ahead.
Thank you for the opportunity again. I wanted to understand what is the plan for replacement of current vehicles and over the next 2-3 years, of course, and how much capex would we have to incur for this?
So basically, so today as we speak, vessel of a medium age would be roughly about $50 to $60 million. Okay. When we say middle age means about 10 to 15 years. Right now for next 1 year, we will be able to run these ships and we will see as and when the new opportunities come or closer to their being expiry, we'll see what is available in the market. The broad range is $50 to $60 million per ship will be the cost.
Right, okay. Any major maintenance capex expected on these vessels in the short term?
Maintenance capex is a regular thing that goes on all the ships. Basically, every ship goes for a dry dock every 2.5 years. Whatever capex or whatever expenditure that is run on those 2.5 year dry dock period is amortized for a further period of 2.5 years.
Okay, what would be the cost for this when they go in 2.5 years, every 2.5 years?
That depends on asset to asset, but Naveen ji would clarify further.
See, that dry docking cost depends upon vessel to vessel and scope of work also. And so normally it range from somewhere around $2 million to $3 million at most.
$2 to $3 million, understood. Yeah. Okay. Thank you. That's it from my side.
Thank you very much. As there are no further questions, I will now hand the conference over to Mr. Balasubramanian for closing comments.
Thank you very much. Thank you, sir. Thank you, all the participants. Now we can conclude the call. Have a good day. Any final closing remarks from your side?
Thank you very much, Bala, and thank you all the participants for joining us in today's call. We would like to continue our investor engagement for a clear direction on how the company will progress year on year basis. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. On behalf of Arihant Capital Markets Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us and you may now disconnect your lines. Thank you.